now I have the great pleasure of introducing Jane Skates to you. Not that you need any introduction to Jane, but welcoming Jane to the podium, at least to the platform. Let's pray for you, Jane.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Jane. We thank you for that wisdom that she carries, a wisdom that comes from you, the wisdom that comes from your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask today that as she speaks, that you would clearly anoint her lips, that we might be people who hear and put into practice all that you have for us today. Lord, give us willing ears, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. Well, good morning, church. Last Sunday, Sandra Graham and I had a conversation about our previous Sunday school teachers and, in my case, covenantal leaders, who were very influential in our young lives and people who the Holy Spirit used to bring us both into real understanding of who Jesus is, why he came, why he went to the cross for us. I'm sure Sandra won't mind me saying this, but her Sunday school teacher worked on a market stall. My covenantal leader was a housewife and a mum, and later a school dinner lady. Both very essential, you might say, but humble occupations. But both women were, as in Sandra's words, real ambassadors for the Lord. And they were greatly used by him too. My covenantal leader was able to fully explain the good news about why Jesus died and rose again. And the Holy Spirit enabled me to understand why I needed to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ and invite him to be Lord and Saviour in my life and to go on to be baptised as a public declaration of my faith. I will always be grateful to her for her obedience to serve God, for her knowledge of the scriptures, and for her love for me. In our reading today, we heard about someone called Philip. Now, originally, Philip was a deacon in the early church, not a leader, a deacon. The title deacon really meant servant. So Philip was a servant in the early church. He was chosen to be involved with the men who were responsible for overseeing food distribution amongst the believers to make sure that everyone was cared for. So Philip was a servant, serving food, maybe serving at tables, certainly giving out food packages. And I like to think that it was not just for the believers, but for the poor in the area too, because Jesus had told them, the poor you will always have with you. Very important job, but also a very humble job, being a deacon, a servant. Do you know, Jesus talked in his ministry, in his parables, about being faithful in the little things in life. In Matthew 25, we read, in one of the parables, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy in a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master." Note to self, faithfulness in service brings joy. In Luke 19, verse 17, we read, similarly, "Well done, good servant. Because you have proved yourself faithful and trustworthy in a little thing, you shall now have authority over 10 cities in my kingdom." And do you know, we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, God is talking to the church. "I know that you have little power. I know what you do. You have followed my teaching and have been faithful to me. I have opened a door in front of you, which no one can close." So joy in service and a reward. What a reward we have waiting for us, for those who are faithful in the little things. I have two very good nurse friends, both of whom reached quite high positions in the NHS. One was actually a director of nursing at East Kent, the neighbouring trust of ours. She went on to a ward one day, and on her way to the nurse's station, she realised that one of the patients had rung a bell. So she went into the patient's room to answer the bell and asked how she could help him. The patient needed a bedpan. So she said she would make sure he got one. She left the room and went to the nurse's station. She found two nurses sitting there, probably working on a computer or something, but she found two nurses sitting there, and so she explained that the patient in bed number so-and-so needed a bedpan. One nurse said, "Okay, thank you." The other nurse said nothing. Neither of them moved. So my friend, the director of nursing, said, waited a little while and then said, "I'll get it then, shall I? Would you like to show me where the sluice is, please?" At which point both nurses jumped up and said, no, that's all right, we'll do it. And one of them rushed off to look after the patient in bed number whatever. No job too small, too humble for the director of nursing. Faithful in service. What a humble lesson for those nurses. I think they did learn to be more patient focused. In Revelation, God says, "I know what you do. You have followed my teaching, you have been faithful." And we learn, really, through reading Acts, that God had other jobs for Philip and some of the other believers, and they were moved into other areas of ministry. By the time we get to Acts chapter 21, we hear about Philip the evangelist working in Caesarea, which is probably a direct result of what happened to him today. My covenantal leader, like Philip, had the desire to serve the Lord. Philip, like my covenantal leader, knew his scriptures, and he wanted to show God's love to those around him, and he wanted to explain to anyone who would listen the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection. To me, this meant that Philip was in a real, living relationship with God the Father. He was spending time with him. He was spending time studying the scriptures as they knew them in those days. And he spent time seeking God's will for his life. It means, too, that he was obedient. When he heard God speaking to him, he obeyed. It's no surprise to me that when an angel of the Lord appeared, the angels are God's messengers, and told Philip to up sticks and go, that he went. He did exactly what he was told. He was obedient. Why did Philip choose Samaria? Well, let's look briefly at what had happened earlier in Acts chapter 8. We read in verse 1 that Stephen had been martyred and that Saul, later to be known to us as Paul, was present. Saul and the Jews generally began then to persecute the Christians in Jerusalem, causing great suffering and imprisonment. We're told a lot of the believers were leaving Jerusalem. The main apostles stayed, but other people were scattered to different places, like the rest of Judea and Samaria. Isn't this a bit familiar? If we read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power." This is Jesus talking. "You will be my witnesses. You will tell people everywhere about me, in Jerusalem, in the rest of Judea, and in Samaria, and in every part of the world, or to the ends of the earth," some translations say. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, "All the believers left Jerusalem. Only the apostles stayed. The believers went to different places in Judea and Samaria." But what a surprise. God is working his purposes out. We used to sing a chorus about that when I was a young person. Anyway, what a surprise. Also, I like to think that Philip had remembered what Jesus had said. And he knew too that Jesus had gone to Samaria. Maybe if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for Philip. But you know, even if we think back into the last century, the church grows under persecution. If we look at China in the 1940s and Russia in the 60s and 70s, when the church is persecuted, the church grows. The same today. Everywhere these disciples who'd left Jerusalem went, they started talking about Jesus and telling people why Jesus had lived and died and risen again. And Philip made his way to Samaria. The Jews quite often would avoid Samaria if they were going north to Galilee or Nazareth or something. They would bypass Samaria. But Jesus hadn't done that, and neither did Philip. Everyone is important. Everyone needs to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, when he got there, we're told that Philip shared the gospel and there was a resounding response. People were being saved, demons were cast out, people were being healed. There was such a lot going on that, in fact, later, Peter and John, two apostles, went up from Jerusalem to kind of see what was actually happening. And they did, in fact, sort of take over the ministry there for a while. And it was during that fruitful time that God sent his angel to tell Philip to leave and start heading back to Jerusalem and eventually Gaza. We have to remember that Philip was walking. At the most, he would have had a donkey, perhaps. But that was some ask. And to leave such a successful ministry, Philip might have said, "But why, Lord? You know, am I not serving you here?" But he didn't. He didn't say that. God asked Philip to go because Philip had been faithful and obedient in the little things. He knew he would be faithful and obedient in the big things. Is that a lesson for us, lesson for me? Is God asking me or you to go? I don't necessarily mean move house or move area necessarily, but it might be, you know, move into a role or a job that we never thought we would be any good at. It might be actually just metaphorically going to share our story with somebody in our daily lives. But it's important to remember here, if we look at this story, it shows us three things. Firstly, God directs us. He directed Philip. He directs us to those to whom he wants us to share our story. It was the angel who said, "Up and go," but it was the Holy Spirit who said, "Get alongside that chariot and stay there." Secondly, very often, an individual, just like the official invited Philip to come up into the chariot to talk to him about what he was reading, very often individuals will invite us into their space or their conversation, or they'll have a question that they want us to perhaps comment or explain. It's their space, it's their conversation, they've started it, they're more comfortable. And very often that's easier for us to explain their faith to them. God does have a way of getting us where he wants us to go, but he also uses us where we are to serve him. Jesus talked about how a mustard seed size amount of faith could move mountains. And very often when we talk to people who don't come to church, they might say things like, "I'm not religious, but I do believe in God." Mustard seed full of faith there. Take it, nurture it, grow with it. The third thing that our passage tells us today is that God will direct the course of the conversation where he wants it to go. The passage the eunuch was reading was what we know as Isaiah 53, the suffering servant passage. Now, they didn't have chapters and verses in those days. That all came later. But verse 35 of our reading today, it says, Philip began with the scripture. It's important for us to know our scriptures. It's important for us to read our Bibles. It's important for us to know. Because then what the Holy Spirit can do, just like with Philip, he can bring to mind, he can enable us to explain. And the Holy Spirit enabled Philip to explain this was a prophecy about Jesus. It was written about 700 years before they were reading it there, but it was fulfilled in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in their current lifetime. So what's the challenge in all of this to us? Maybe it's to be able to respond to people who invite us into their space, to take them from where they are and then lead them into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And here we have Philip going through this reading step by step to the point where the official knows that he believes in Jesus Christ and he wants to be baptized. Philip doesn't question it. in his spirit, he knows that this man has believed. But what happens once the official is baptized? Philip is whisked away by the Spirit of the Lord, we're told. Now, we know God can do this because we've seen it happen in Scripture before. And if God wants to do that, then he jolly well can. I mean, it then says the official went on his way rejoicing. I should think he was a bit shocked when he came up out of the water and Philip had disappeared. Where did he go? You know, he disappeared. But he was so overwhelmed with what had just happened to him, his experience of the Lord. He suddenly was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, in a way, that was irrelevant, what had happened to Philip. And he knew that he had to just get on his way and get home and start telling people what had happened. Which is, you know, a lovely picture, isn't it? But, you know, that to me, that said, sometimes we're just a link in the chain of someone's encounter with God. They may have met several people before they talk to you. They may have asked lots of other questions of lots of other people. They may have read things for themselves and not really understood. But God uses all of those things to bring people to faith. And sometimes God says, you've done your bit. It's time to back away. So we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in that if we are sharing our story, because sometimes it is time for us to step back, let those seeds grow, let those thoughts mature, and we may not be the person leading that person into a real relationship with Jesus Christ and there at the moment that they are saved or make that decision. But actually, does that matter? What matters is that people come into a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. And then hopefully we're there in the background somewhere when that happens and able to help them on their journey to becoming a true believer and a disciple. Now, I suspect that when Philip kind of came to in Azotus, that he was pretty happy too. We learned faithfulness in service brings joy. So he was probably pretty joyful too. If you think of the geography, I've cheated, I've got a map here. But if you think of the geography, Gaza is down here. Azotus, where Philip ended up, is here. And Caesarea, where he eventually ends up in Acts chapter 21, is a bit further up the coast, just there. So it looks like Philip decided he was going to stay in that area. What this passage said to me very clearly was that faithfulness in service brings joy to us as believers. Joy in our lives is a true mark of being filled with the Spirit, along with love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. But that's probably a whole other sermon. But there is little doubt that when the official got back to Ethiopia, he joyfully told people what had happened. Philip finds where he is in Azotus, joyfully sharing the gospel and people believing. And this is all really due to Philip's sensitivity to being led by the Holy Spirit. And to me, that spoke to me, that said how important it was that, you know, we have our own ideas, we have our own goals in life, we have our own pathway. But on a day-by-day basis, it's important to involve God. I've recently been reading a book that I got at Spring Harvest by a lady called Becky Sedgwick. And she has this wonderful way of just putting little clips into different pages. And I read this one and I thought, gosh, it really spoke to me. It said, we talk to God just as if he's another member of our family, another person in the room, living life, drip-feeding God into our lives, because that's what life with God is like. And it just spoke to me that, yes, it's important to have a time every day, I think, where we just are alone with God. But actually, he doesn't leave us after that, and we don't leave him. He's walking alongside us all the time. And very often, there's opportunities to share our story, and we might say, oh, what do I say now, Lord? but you know, that's enough. And then listen, and the Holy Spirit will help us. Faithfulness in service brings joy. Joy to us and joy to those around us. So that's my challenge really to us today. Do we have such a love for those around us that when they do invite us into their space, if you like, we can see where they are, we can use that with the Holy Spirit's influence and inspiration to bring them to faith and a real understanding of the good news of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and all that it can teach us. Thank you for Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection and his saving grace. Help us to love you and faithfully serve you in the little things every day. In Jesus' name, amen.